It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
It is Monday morning, and we are back here on the morning show. Happy Passover. Gut Yom Tov to you out there, and Zessen Pesach to my Kashrut kin. Happy Passover to you, David. We are back in the studio, a little tired, a little worse for the wear, but we are rocking and rolling as usual here on the Independence Network. David Iverson, good to see you. It's been a while, bud.
Yeah, I've been, I don't know, it feels like 8 hours.
Maybe.
Now, it's good to be back in the studio. You know, it's every time you go to a state central committee meeting or a convention, conventions are take a little bit longer, but anytime you get home, it's the same when you go on any trip. You get home and you're really happy to be here, and the only thing you want to do is really just sit on the couch for a while. It just takes a little bit to get recharged. But we're back on the morning show, and great to be back in the studio. It's like, it's my home away from home. No, wait. It is my home. Never mind. So what do we got on the board this morning, Joey?
Well, I think we're definitely going to talk about quite a few of the things that went down at the Wyoming Republican Party State Convention this weekend. But the way the Independence Network always does, we were there in the room. Look across the room. There's a group of quote-unquote journalists from the Wyoming lamestream media. And they put their stories out, and we're going to sit here and tell you what really happened instead.
Fair enough.
I'm actually going to let you pick. Yeah, the first topic's going to go to David, and we'll just kind of try to dice up what happened over the weekend, and I have no doubt that that's going to fill the hour.
Well, just to preface this a little bit, you know, one of the reasons why the Independence Network exists, and definitely a reason why cowboy state politics exists, is we're tired of being lied to by the liberal Wyoming press. They don't ever get anything right, as if they even attempt to. But more often than not, they just try to push a narrative. And it's always a narrative that makes conservative Republicans look bad, and to make the opposition on the other side, or in Wyoming's case, the Redcoats, paint them in a positive light. And so this first one I've got for you is a soundbite off of this morning's Cowpie News. I guess that's what they're calling it. News from the corral, news from the manure pile, whatever you want to call it. But take a listen to this, Joey.
The Wyoming Republican Party censured Governor Mark Gordon at its state convention on Saturday. The censure was drafted in the party's resolution committee and failed to meet the 75-person threshold needed to open the topic for discussion, indicating that if the censure had gone to a vote, it likely would have passed by a large majority. Cowboy State Daily's Leah Wolfson said Gordon is the first state governor to be censured by a Republican party since the former Arizona governor.
Okay, all right, hold on just a second. The soundbite starts out by saying that the censure had to meet, let's just take this first point, okay, that the censure had to meet a 75-vote threshold to be discussed. Now, Joey, I was there, you were there, I don't remember that being a part of any discussion.
Well, on the floor rules for the Wyoming Republican Party Convention, to pull a resolution or any item of business that was on the consent calendar for that topic, whether it be bylaws, resolutions, platform, there was a requirement that somebody challenging the adoption would have to get 75 seconds. And I guess that would be a requirement to go into debate, but really what it was if you want to kill this, you need 75 of your brethren to help you, because the rest of us didn't need to discuss it. This is not a new topic. This was not a gotcha surprise. Everybody had read this thing, and there were definitely not 75 people that even needed to go into more detail or spend any more time on the Mark Gordon censure resolution. The other interesting thing was when she announces it, said, oh, this resolution was drafted by the resolutions committee. No, it wasn't. This resolution was drafted by a county central committee, passed there, discussed at a state central committee meeting. Not sure that it was voted on at that meeting, but it had been paraded around the state over the last, I would say, month, because a lot of the content had to do with the Gordon vetoes of very conservative legislation that passed with supermajorities in both chambers. So this isn't something that was just written up this weekend and tossed to the people and we limited discussion. We had a process. There was a lot of transparency. There was a lot of involvement. And it just was not that big of an issue to go into the minutia by the full body. They said, hey, we know what this is. We're good with it.
So the interesting thing is that Trotsky Wolfson was present at the convention from Thursday all the way through Saturday. Of course, I didn't see him at the dinner. I doubt the cow pie would pay us so that Trotsky could have dinner with us and, you know, listen to Harmeet Dillon talk and all that. But he was there. He listened to every part of that whole thing. When I was parliamentarian in the bylaws committee, he was sitting right there. I had to stare at his beady little eyes the entire time. So he knew exactly how things worked. But that's not what he told his cowpie brethren, or I don't even know what you call, you know, fellow people that reside in the cowpie. But anyway, so he couldn't even get that right. Now, let's listen to the rest of this soundbite where you actually hear Trotsky trying to explain what's going on.
Was censored by his Republican Party in 2021.
With Gordon, the relationship between the party and Gordon has been deteriorating over the past year or so. It started after comments he made at Harvard University saying he wants to make reduce Wyoming's carbon output in response to climate change. And then things got real bad after he made his vetoes. So this is just kind of another step in that direction.
A spokesperson for the governor said the party's censure is concerning and that the
Okay, blah, blah, blah. So there you have Trotsky. But they can't even get the news correct, the process correct. They didn't even listen to how any of this stuff got introduced, how any of it was voted on. They didn't even get the voting procedures right. Nothing. But this is the most, what is the number one voice in Wyoming news or whatever the heck they call themselves. So none of that report was even correct. There really was no opposition to censuring Gordon. I'm sure in the resolutions committee, I wasn't in that one, but I'm sure there was a lot of discussion as per formatting and if we want to do this, but essentially it got passed. It got placed on the consent agenda, which it works the same as in any body. The items that we don't think are going to be that controversial go on a consent agenda. And if you want to pull them for the entire body to talk about it, then the floor rule that was passed at the convention is you need 75 people to agree with you. Now, 75 people is not that many when considering that the entire body of the convention floor was like 395 or 398 or something like that. It was a lot. So a very small percentage. And that resolution couldn't even get 75 people to say, let's talk about this. Nope. We all agree. Boom. Let's go.
Just so we don't have to lead with our mistakes in the future, the opening delegate count was 298.
I was
350 off. Delegates. 350 delegates allotted, and our high water mark was 317 or something like that. But that's okay. It's hard because, you know, Natrona County has allotted so many delegates that aren't actually allowed to show up. They're allotted 37, but they're only authorized to seat 6. But that's a different story altogether. So there's the allotted number that everybody was looking at, which was close to what you said. But that's neither here nor there. If less than 20% of the body wants to talk about something.
Hold on, Joey. Just one more stick at the cow pie here for a little bit. Now, the reason why I didn't get that number exactly correct is I was only at the convention floor for a little bit because I was attending an event that the cow pie didn't get invited to. And that was Harmeet Dillon's private talk with some students from the university and a couple folks. Actually, it wasn't private, but if you weren't part of the party, you wouldn't really know that she was giving another address. So I was off taking care of Harmeet Dillon and recording that. But Joey was on the convention floor the entire time. So my apologies, 298 or the way I'm going to put it, a heck of a lot more than 75.
Yeah, pretty low watermark, 20 to 25% of delegates to even open a subject. That's not even, you know, enough to get Mark Gordon elected during the primary. It normally takes 30%. It's definitely not a majority anyway. So, yeah, but that's just a little math, cover our backsides on that one. Other interesting things happening in resolutions, of course, we'd had the censure of Mark Gordon, but let's talk about that 75 number. There was a resolution in the packet to return to hand counting of ballots, and it was challenged. Somebody came up, I believe from Natrona County,
weird,
and said, we want to talk about this, basically, we want to kill this, and tried to bring it to the floor, which required that 75 vote for second. And when the chair said, do we have 75 seconds, please rise if you're in favor of polling this for discussion, people stood up and he called it, said, this is clearly not 75 people. And guess what the people that wanted to poll the resolution demanding hand counts did? They demanded that they counted by hand the number of seconds, and it was pathetically low. So once again, sometimes you got to look at the principle you're dealing with. We demand hand counts. No, we don't want hand counts. We're going to challenge it. Okay, you don't have enough to challenge it. We demand that you hand count our challenge to hand counts. It was just, some of that stuff is just terribly entertaining to me in a floor position or situation like this. But nonetheless, we got plenty more to talk about. Oh, something that didn't lack a 75 count support, which this one didn't require that number because it wasn't a challenge. The question was put to the group who the presumptive candidate or who the nominee of the Wyoming Republican Party delegates would be. These delegates are now bound. And I believe it was pretty much unanimous. All 29 of Wyoming's delegates will be voting for Donald Trump, at least on the first two ballots, if there is more than one ballot at the national convention. So kind of a primary, I don't know if it's actually a primary, but the people that will actually vote to see who is going to be on our ballot at the general election voted to say our 29 votes are going to Donald J. Trump without argument or question. So that's that.
Now, Wyoming is kind of different than a lot of other states in the country. We don't have a presidential primary. A lot of people think that we do, but if you remember the last time you voted in the primary, you didn't see a spot where you could vote for President Donald Trump or his challenger or whatever. We don't have a presidential primary. Our state's delegates, well, first of all, our primary election happens way after all of the delegates are after the time frame that delegates have to be obligated to whichever candidate. So our primary doesn't involve the president, which is kind of interesting, different than a lot of states. Our delegates are assigned by the Republican Party. And in this case, like Joey said, all of those delegates are going to Donald Trump. Now, this is, I want to get in the Wayback Machine a little bit, because one of the very first things that happened on the convention floor is we had to switch up the agenda a little bit. The first agenda had the assigning of delegates way down at the bottom, the last piece of business. And then there was a vote to, institute, I don't know if that's the right word, but to use a substitute agenda in which the assigning of delegates was moved all the way to the top. So the first order of business was presidential electors, and then everything else happened. And the reason for that is at the last convention, the liberal counties in Wyoming, the Redcoats, Natrona County, Laramie County, this was during COVID, so things got a little bit messy, but there was an attempt to waste all of the debate time on the floor so that we couldn't assign presidential electors to Donald Trump. And it, you know, I was at the convention, and okay, so first of all, we should back up. So there's only a limited amount of debate on the floor at the GOP state convention. There's always a drop dead time where all your business has to be done, and if it's not, it isn't going to get done. And, you know, that's because we have dinners and banquets and all sorts of things after that. And if you didn't have a set time for the convention to end, things would go on way into the night. So we have a time, that's it, no more. So at the last convention, when we were discussing bylaw changes, what Joey and I just talked about, there was amendment after amendment, and they pulled this and pulled that, and point of order this and point of order that. And again, it was a real attempt to waste all the debate time so that we couldn't vote for Trump. Well, we weren't going to have that this time, and that piece of the agenda was moved all the way up to the top to make sure that we weren't going to have that problem.
Yes, it's nothing special. It's just an amendment to the agenda, a proposed amendment. It just happened to be printed on paper so that everybody saw what we were doing. And it took a little while. A couple of speakers had to try to explain why we were doing this. And there was one delegate that finally got up and said, listen, this is the only work that is required of us by the RNC. We're not going to waste the time and not assign our delegates and do this election work and basically disqualify our state from participating in the national convention. So that was a very smart and active delegate on the floor, I must say myself.
It was you.
Because it was myself. It was. But yeah, kind of cutting through the, trying to wander through the weeds on why we're doing this. The bottom line was that is work that is required by the RNC. And yeah, we weren't going to miss out on that work. So totally supported that agenda change. And in 2020, kind of what you said, but we had two conventions in 2020 because of COVID. And we had that virtual convention specifically to do the work the RNC required of us to elect and make sure that the delegates were properly going to be seated. And then we had the in-person convention where all that wasting time went on so that they could get to the second part of not allowing us to elect a national committee man, national committee woman, and presidential electors, like you said. Again, that's not required by the RNC, but it's always nice to have, you know, if your candidate wins, people that can go and cast the actual votes for them and send those to Congress. So we didn't play with that at all this year. It's also the second convention where we didn't allow elected officials or candidates for office to speak during the convention because the business is so important and we don't have time to waste. Back in 2020, we gave Mike Enzi, you know, 20, 30 minutes to speak. He wasn't running for office. He was getting to ready to retire, and he spoke for 52 minutes. Well, that's floor time. So any of our elected officials were more than welcome to speak at the dinner or on the break time. But yeah, the business of the party took precedence over everything, and that's why that agenda change came up.
So another piece of fake news from the cowpie is, oh, look at that pretty face right on the front of the article. I don't know about pretty. I don't know if that's an accurate description. But anyway, it's our good pal Joey Corrente on the article, and it's entitled Wyoming GOP Passes Rule to Kick Out County Precinct Members, But Is It Legal? So this is an issue that's been going on for some time in the party. It started with a resolution in Park County where they wanted to, and I don't even know the right language, so I'm just going to take a stab at it. Basically, they wanted to unseat precinct members who never show up for a meeting. In many Wyoming communities, being a precinct man is a status symbol, and a lot of them don't ever show up to a meeting. I think this probably is the case in, it's definitely the case in Johnson County. It's definitely the case in Park County, where a couple precinct people are Alan Simpson. I think Alan Simpson's wife is a precinct man. But that's just two examples. There's a lot of them in Park County that never show up to a meeting. They just get elected to their precinct position, and that's it. So Park County passed a resolution months ago that said, if you're not going to attend a certain amount of meetings, and I don't have a copy of their original resolution in front of me, but essentially, if you're not going to attend a bunch of meetings, you're not part of the club anymore. Bye-bye. And so that resolution made it all the way to the convention, and it was passed. Now, I wasn't present for the floor debate on this one. I was off with the other Harmeet Dillon appearance. But Joey, go ahead and tell us what happened with this, and then we'll get to the cowpies version.
This was an amendment to the bylaws allowing county central committees to vacate a position of any member, precinct committee man or committee woman, who misses any three meetings in a 365-day period. I see what they're trying to do. I have concerns because what it does is expand the language that exists in statute for when a vacancy is created. There's no attendance requirement for precinct people in statute. Can a private organization like the Republican Party do it? Yes, no. Is it legal? Yes, no. I'm leaning to the side of there are very specific things listed in law that say this is when you can do that and say you're no longer part of the team. I also have a concern that we're really limiting the voice of the minority, however annoying or absent it may be. But the truth is, the biggest problem I have with it is says any representative, precinct, committee man, committee woman that misses three meetings in a year, it doesn't define what meetings. So if you want to kick precinct people out, in my mind, you can have an executive committee meeting, a finance meeting, and a party planning meeting that none of these individuals would normally go to anyway and say, well, you missed three meetings, bye. It also creates a vacuum that needs to be filled. And if you have a precinct full of concerning individuals, that's the pool that you get to pick the replacement from. So six in one hand, half dozen in the other. I see what they're trying to do. I'm pretty sure this might meet with a court challenge. It's already an issue in Park County that they're dealing with internally to the party. But hey, it is what it is. It's not likely to happen around here. I know Sheridan County has some concerns. I think there was just a better way of, approaching or addressing this, but that was the will of the body, and that is now official rule within the Republican Party, and we'll have to see how that goes and how it's utilized.
Well, as we always say on the program, Joey, that the devil is always in the details, that if you're going to pass a rule, you need to look at kind of all contingencies in there. And there are, and like I said in the lead up to this discussion, there's a lot of counties, and in fact, I might even say all counties, have precinct people that never show up. And the statute isn't really clear about if you get to participate. It's absolutely clear if you about running for election and getting elected to a precinct seat. But one of the very first things that happens after all of the precinct people are elected, so after the election, is they get seated. So the entire body votes on, okay, all of these people are new, they're new precinct people, we need to have a vote to seat them at the county central committee. So the election happens, and then the private machinations of the party kick in. So in my mind, and maybe we can debate this a little bit, if you get elected, that doesn't mean that the party can seat you. And if that's true, then it also means that the body can vote to unseat you. Now, I don't know if that's the language probably isn't right there, but according to this bylaw change, now they can. And I get it that, if you're going to run for an office, you need to do the job that you applied for. And in many cases, like the case of former Senator Alan Simpson, he applied for a job and he never shows up. And when he does, the only thing he does is sit in the back, grumbles a little bit, makes really rude comments at anybody who's speaking. The reason I know this is he's done this to me. And then the rest of the time, he doesn't show up. Funny story, Joey. I got invited to moderate a school board debate over in Park County. And I didn't select all the questions, but they ended up being all about pornography books in the library. So I'm up, just moderating the debate and watching the board and recording everything for them. And I hear this grumpy old man in the back, "Who came up with these questions? These are all bullshit." And I stand up and turn around, and even though I wasn't the one that came up with the questions, I turned around and said, "I did. And you don't have a microphone. Sit down, please, sir." And went back around my business. But the only time Alan Simpson shows up in Park County is if he wants to complain about what's going on. And other than that, he can't grace us with his presence. So this resolution or bylaw change is an attempt to deal with that. And I'm kind of siding on the private organizations have a right to conduct themselves in any way they decide. And the Republican Party is a private organization, although there are several statutes about it. And in this one, while I think it's kind of concerning, and could be concerning in places like Teton County or Natrona County. Oh, you missed three super secret meetings. We're going to kick you out. So what I'm saying is, I think there's good parts and bad parts to this. We'll have to see how it all plays out. And if I had to guess, I would say this bylaw will end up getting refined at a later date, so at the next convention. But I don't know.
Well, time will tell on that. Let's go back to your little interaction with Al Simpson.
Yeah.
Words mean things on this show. Words definitely mean things on this show. And we're pretty much about integrity, no hypocrisy. So I want to point out, maybe provide a little cover. When David stands up and says he did something that he didn't do, it's kind of the I am Spartacus argument. He's standing as a defender of what happened. We've done it before. We claim that we are Wild Rhino when they said we need Wild Rhino to debate. And I don't think there's a problem with that. I don't think there's an integrity issue saying, hey, I know and I'll take the hit on this one. I believe in it enough. I'll stand for it. I'll debate on it. This is not a Darren Smith issue where you're taking credit for work you didn't do to promote yourself.
No.
So
the way it all happened, Joey, is those questions were delivered to me ahead of time. So I got there. I'm setting everything up, you know, all the speakers and figuring out the format for the debate. And most of the questions came from the front two rows. It was in one of the smaller rooms at the Park County Library. And, you know, small room. And so a lot of people walked up to me and just handed me a slip of paper, you know, with a question on it. And almost all of them came from the first two rows, which most of those was a bunch of elderly ladies. In fact, I think all of them were. And so what I did is I just read through all of them. And almost every single question for the school board was about porn in libraries. And so, you know, it's not like I'm going to stand up and say, this little old lady here in front is the one that's asking the question. No, you're exactly right, Joey. The point was, no, if you have a problem with the questions, you can address it to me. If you don't, sit down, Alan Simpson. And the best part is, you know, I didn't have the room mic'd, and you could... So I'm paying attention to the people on the stage, but I can still hear Alan Simpson in the background grumbling, oh, stupid, you know, on and on and on. But that's all he does is shows up to be a disruption. And I guess if you're a former senator from Wyoming, maybe that makes you believe you're entitled to disrupt other people's events. But the point there is you're exactly right. It was the, no, I'll take the hit on this. You come up here and talk to me. But he didn't. So anyway, same thing happened at the gubernatorial debate that was held in Park County. That one, it was Brent Biehn and Mark Gordon. The other two candidates were invited to attend that one, but he did the same thing there. But in this case, I was live streaming that one, and Alan Simpson was, I think he was two rows behind me, and same thing. Grumbled the whole time and just tried to disrupt everything. And I mean, just a real pain in the butt. So anyway, we're way away from the topic. But the point here...
Let me get back to that.
Yeah, please do. Get us back on topic.
A couple things you said on precinct people. They're elected in August. They're not seated until January when their office takes effect. And they don't have to be voted on to be seated, because who would vote on them if the old precinct people aren't precinct people anymore? So they are seated by virtue of their election. Now, I will agree with you. The difference between membership, which this bylaw talks about, you are no longer a member, we're vacating your position, and participation. I totally believe, and Robert's Rules in Chapter 20 under Disciplinary Procedures provides for any certain way of limiting participation up to limiting membership through a trial. So if they're not holding trials, yeah, the body can vote and say, hey, listen, you're still a precinct person. You just can't participate in this meeting. But none of those actions provide for a replacement or a proxy or a stand-in for that person. So if you limit the membership, in my mind, legally and in accordance with Robert's rules, you're absenting that position even for that meeting, even though the person's present. No one can come in and vote on their behalf and actually fill that debate or vote slot. And I think that's perfectly fine if you follow those rules. The big concern I have about stuff like this is there's a concern about state law, and I 100% believe and have written draft legislation that points out Title 22 and the way they regulate major political parties is unconstitutional because certain parties have rules, certain parties don't. So that's a violation of political equality laid out in the Constitution. And it's unfortunately one of the few things that Rod Miller agrees with me on, to the point where he's still writing articles about it. The government should not be involved in the internal operations of the party. But as a political party that, you know, individuals that join together under certain ideologies, the Republican Party platform, to affect political change through legislation, that should be the goal. Let's get rid of this law. And once the law is gone, a lot of my problems with this go away because it's just, am I in line with the rules of the group that I say I belong to? And I can choose to walk away at that point. But as it sits right now, we're going to see what happens with this. And really, the limit before there's an issue that can really go on paper or go anywhere else or violate the law is participation, not membership. But this bylaw says we're removing your membership. You will never be able to come back to a meeting in this position. And I don't know that that's, we'll have to see who else says what and if anything comes through the court on that. But really the goal here is less government. Get these laws off the books. It's not the business of the legislature or the Wyoming state government to say how we do business. And once we fight that fight, then all of these other rules of how we're going to regulate our independence would be very little question. It's a majority vote of the body at that time.
Well, I think a point worth discussing is you never see arguments about any of this stuff related to the Democrats. You know, they are the other major political party in the state, and they do some pretty crazy things in their own party. For example, one of their state committee women is not a woman. That would be Dylan Langford, or, you know, Artemis Langford, or whatever he's calling himself these days. But he's not a woman, and yet he is one of the state committee women. The Democrats do a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't see the legislature trying to monkey in what they do. It's only the Republican Party, which, I mean, there's, in my mind, there's one very simple reason for that. It's because a lot of the people in the legislature are, the only reason that they are Republicans is so that they can get elected. They don't act like Republicans. They don't vote like Republicans. They really aren't Republicans. They're red-coated Democrats that can't spell. And so, of course, they're going to pass laws that that restrict the operation of the Republican Party. While I guess technically the same rules apply to the Democrats, but you never see them monkeying with anything that the Democrats do. All of it is directed at the Republican Party. You know, if the Redcoats were not in charge of the legislature, theoretically, bills that loosen up Title 22 could be passed. But do you know what the cowpie would say about that? All these terrible conservatives, they're screwing with the election. But it is so hypocritical because it is entrenched establishment Republicans that insist that the legislature regulate the Republican Party. And I know it technically relates to the Democrat Party as well. But you never hear that. All of this is directed at the Republican Party, and it's done so at the behest of liberal, red-coated Republicans.
Yeah, how dare we codify equality and fierce independence in the equality state that believes in fierce independence?
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Always an interesting conversation there. And yeah, it's going to be a long slog to deal with that, but I have a feeling it's going to be coming up sooner than later. Let's see, what else did we have? Oh, I had a really troubling issue come up during the convention. On Thursday and Friday, I had a couple of visitors come and talk to me, pull me aside, and tell me that, you know, my actions on the floor, my debate, and the success that some of the arguments I engaged in were really inspiring to them, and that I'm right-headed and, you know, very principled in my arguments, and that they really appreciate me, and they can't believe how much I've changed. And the truth is, I've never changed. I've always argued on principle. I've always argued for the procedure. That's my nickname, the procedure and principle guy. And some of the things I've seen in the past have been problematic that some people didn't like. And now the things I see that are problematic, those people are like, yeah, I have a problem with that too. I haven't changed. They've changed. But in a 24-hour period, when you get a five-minute attaboy and pat on the back from the chairman of the Teton County Republican Party and Gail Simmons, the only thing I can think is, I finally see the need to fully fund a suicide hotline in Wyoming because I almost needed it. You do not want Lord. Those people on you. I had to go look in the mirror and see if I was still, yep, nope, I haven't changed. It's finally something you agree with. You've changed. So that's a tough pill to swallow when certain people are like, yeah, you're our guy now. It's like, no, I'm not. I never was and I never will be. You know, so yeah, that was interesting series of conversation.
You know, I had a similar conversation like that. Joey, did you know that I am not a journalist? You know, I don't do any sort of journalism on my program, that it's only entertainment. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard that. And the funny thing is, I don't hear anything like that. And literally the intro to all of my shows is how I'm not a journalist. I provide commentary and entertainment. But nobody comes and says that to me. And I don't know if that's because I admit it or not, but even without the direct comparison between you and me, how are you considered entertainment?
Well, see, I am entertaining. I will give them that. But let me just put some context to this. When you run the most listened to program in the state of Wyoming, you end up having a lot of friends. I get information all across the state. And anything that is said about my program, I hear it. And so when a very good source comes to me and says, you'll never guess what Trotsky Wolfson said about you, that you're not really a journalist, that you're just entertainment. And the only thing you do is try to say the things that my base wants me to hear. Well, Trotsky, if you would like me to go down your, I don't know, last 20 articles and explain why you are not a journalist, I'm happy to do that. But don't be starting rumors. Now, while we're talking about Trotsky Wolfson running at the mouth in a very large group of people, let's also talk about the rumor that he started during the legislative session, that he told several prominent Republicans that I had been kicked out of the Capitol. Yes, Trotsky, I have my sources, too. I only have one thing to say to you. If you want to say something to my face, then come and talk to me. The truth is that Cowboy State Politics and the Independence Network have broken a ton of stories that nobody else would have heard of had we not done the work. Let's talk about the University of Wyoming funding drag queen trainings. You were definitely... you definitely heard of that story because everybody did. Because I, being the journalist that I am, made sure that everybody heard about it. I even had a pretty good argument with an editor at the Cowpie over that story. What about the whole thing with Clark Stith's office? How the Redcoats and the members of the Wyoming caucus were absolutely violating Wyoming Statute 913-105, on the floor, not on the floor, but in the people's house, in the House of Representatives, how we did an in-depth investigation, how we had videos of people doing it, and yet not one word from Leo Trotsky Wolfson. Now, what about the report that we started the program with, where they couldn't get anything right that actually happened at the Wyoming Republican Convention? Which, by the way, we do have the audio and the video for all of that. If you would like to engage in some journalistic practices, Trotsky, and I don't know, do some research to where you could actually get your facts right. But Trotsky, if you want me to go through the last 20 articles that you've written and point out every single time that you've been wrong or that you've made a statement that is entirely misleading or you have intentionally misquoted people, unlike what actual journalists do, point out facts, you know, I'm happy to do that, Trotsky. But to sum this all up, keep your trap shut.
Yeah, and Leo, I'll let you know, We do have every moment of every committee meeting and all of the floor proceedings available to you for $399.95 if you'd like, because it is proprietary property of the Independence Network. It's out there, but it ain't free, baby. Yeah, we're capitalists too. I kind of heard the same thing. Leo may not know that I know this, but I do know about the unofficial complaint that was made about me during the legislative session, that I was intimidating other journalists by taking pictures of them. Well, it's hard to intimidate people when you're only allowed to sit in one chair while the rest of the journalists can free roam with all the equipment they want across the gallery. And that's what I was taking pictures of. I was told, this is the press area and no one in the press can be outside of here, and you can only have this kind of equipment in this chamber. And so I just needed to document, hey, look at all these quote unquote journalists, members of the press, sitting all over the place and bringing in high capacity assault cameras for whatever news program they were doing. And yeah, it was just the hypocrisy. And I didn't even make the complaint. I was just documenting what was actually going on, kind of like a journalist would, even though, I'm sorry, there's two jobs that I would be really good at that I have too much integrity to do, which is being a lawyer or being a journalist. Other people have other feelings about what they want to do. I'm a commentator that backs it up with facts. That's why I do things like take pictures. So I think the truth is they are so afraid of us, an actual grassroots efforts that don't have all the, oh, we went to journalism school and we work for this syndicate and blah, blah, blah. And we're still successful and we're right. And when we're not, we tell everybody up front, they're scared. They don't like the fact that we exist. You know, they're the elitist media that says you're not allowed to be here. You're not allowed to play ball. And we're going to do everything we can to at least stain your name, if not remove you from these galleries. And you guys are just going to have to deal with it. If you truly believe in the rights that are protected under the First Amendment, especially when it comes to the press, that means even and especially the people like us that you don't like. We're going to do our job. You do your job. And just deal with it, bro.
You know, the funny part about Trotsky, like when you go to these events, nobody really wants to talk to him because he misquotes them all of the time. It's, I can't tell you how many legislators, they're happy to talk to Trotsky, but the conversation is recorded. And the reason they do that is he has a nasty habit of intentionally misquoting people. But when you go to Republican events, of course, the press can come all they want. There's nobody at the front door that's telling people, no, you can't come in. But the only people that will really talk to Trotsky are the Redcoats. So the vast majority of the convention, Trotsky really wasn't talking to. I mean, he did attempt to talk to you. He talked to Vince Venata a little bit. And there were a few other people that gave him comments. But the vast majority of the time, he was talking to Gail Simmons. Gail Simmons isn't even a member of the State Central Committee. She is a precinct person, but she didn't get anywhere near the votes needed to even be on the floor at the convention. And in fact, the lovely Christine beat her by, let's see here, Gail Simmons had 9 votes. The lovely Christine, being at the first Republican Party meeting she had really ever attended, the first election she had ever participated in, and she wasn't even on the ballot. She was a write-in, and the lovely Christine got 28 votes when Gail Simmons got 9. Anyway,
yeah, well,
you know, the point is that...
Don't be surprised when you have Gail Simmons out there asking, hey, I want to represent you at the state convention, and the Sheridan County Republican Party says, 9.
It's hilarious, man.
Yeah, no. She was the lowest voted alternate, but she was there. She was present.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think
she showed up.
The three meeting rule will ever affect Gail Simmons because somehow she's always at everything. But, you know, nonetheless, she doesn't always get to. Again, she's a member of the party, but she didn't get to participate. She didn't meet that level. Anyway.
Anyhow, let's move
but yeah,
on.
It's interesting how that all goes. What else do we got? Harmeet Dhillon gave a great speech. It was chocked full of everything you wanted to hear, the truths and the examples of all those people that say that doesn't happen here in Wyoming. Well, here's the examples of it happening in DC. And she related it to a lot of the things that are happening in Wyoming. And I guess what it really boils down to is we are not in a fight for supremacy majority, any of this stuff. We are in a battle of good and evil when you look at every situation that's going on across the nation and exists here in Wyoming, including the hypersexualization of our children. So we will have that recording available through the Wyoming Republican Party, and we own part of it. So eventually you'll probably get to hear that speech. But I'm really glad we had the opportunity to have her there and listen to her speak. But you got to spend more time with her in any – you weren't just recording. You were hosting, and you were the usher for Harmeet Dhillon throughout the day. So I'm going to hand it over to you because you've got way more insider information than I do on the visit of Ms. Dhillon to Wyoming.
Yeah, one of the more interesting discussions I had with her was about funding of elections. Now, during her talk to Turning Point USA, and it wasn't just Turning Point USA, but, you know, they had a lot of their people there listening to her appearance. But there were several other people there. But one interesting part of the discussion was about funding of elections. And she went through how the Democrat, you know, funding apparatus works, that in the last election, a group of very, very wealthy Democrats formed their own funding mechanism. And it wasn't just a political action committee. They started their own bank. And the bank is called Arabella Advisors. And I've talked about this several times on Cowboy State Politics, how the whole thing works. But they set up their own bank. They set up funding mechanisms. They set up fundraising, channels, and all of it was related to uber wealthy people. So we're talking about Bill and Melinda Gates, George Soros. He's definitely involved in all of this. And her point was, if you think that these people aren't involved in the state of Wyoming, you are out of your mind. And, you know, I've covered this story a lot on Cowboy State Politics and showed you how different parts of the Democrat funding apparatus is deeply involved in a lot of causes in Wyoming and different nonprofit groups that you would never even realize. And the most interesting part of the conversation is I asked her, I said, have you ever heard of the George B. Storer Foundation? And she thought about it for a little bit and she goes, oh yeah, I have. And I said, well, the lady that runs it is Liz Storer. And, you know, she has the same method of operating that the Democracy Alliance, that Arabella Advisors, like all of these big liberal funding outlets have. And so we talked about how Liz Storer sets up so-called conservation groups or groups with the outward appearance of being a conservation group. One of them is Trout Unlimited. The other one is Muley Fanatics. And so how she gets sportsmen involved in this, because at the local level, they actually do some good things. But the problem is, though, that all of the contact information and money from the local level gets funneled up to the top of the organization. And when you get up there, the folks that are operating groups like Muley Fanatics, Trout Unlimited, there's a whole bunch of them in Wyoming. That money is used to, one, for political fundraising, and two, to push political, very liberal propaganda. And Liz Storer does that in a couple of areas. First, she's a big funding outlet for Wyofile, so she's got a media outlet. Another one is High Country News. If you've ever seen one of those magazines pop up in your mailbox or, you know, show up in your mailbox, they don't pop up in there. But anyway, a very interesting discussion I had with her was all about the funding. And where she gets involved is in the court cases. So these folks fund the opposition. They're the folks funding the lawsuits on the other side to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. But it was a fascinating discussion with her. And at some point in the future, we'll have an interview on Cowboy State Politics with Harmeet Dhillon. But fascinating lady, very, very smart. And like Joey said, you know, at the convention or at the banquet, I think she spoke for the better part of an hour. And she covered every topic that you could think of that's pretty well, you know, come up concerning Donald Trump's election or the upcoming election. It's not just Donald Trump's, but fascinating lady, man.
Absolutely. I was glad I was there for that. But we're talking about who did speak. Let's talk about who didn't speak at the convention. We got about 10 minutes left here. I'm sure we can get through this. At the beginning of the show, we read an article or heard from Trotsky saying that the division and the separation between Gordon and the Republican Party really started last fall when he went to Harvard and made his comments. I don't know if Trotsky wasn't here or he doesn't have Google, but I guess we're forgetting about COVID. I believe there was a bit of rough and tumble between real conservatives, Wyomingites, and the governor over that one. Maybe not enough to not elect him the next time, but I think it started way before. But yeah, normally we have all top elected officials present at the convention. The Friday night dinner is actually sponsored by the governor and our Washington delegation. We did get a video from Harriet, John Barrasso, and Cynthia Lummis at the Friday night dinner. And honestly, I'm going to be the one that says it, even if nobody agrees. We know we can look at the calendar and see how busy Harriet was with certain votes coming up. But even in watching the video, I could tell John and Cynthia were very grateful that Harriet provided them cover for not showing up, because I don't think they intended to. And I think the crowd reacted appropriately when Harriet came up on screen. Thunderous applause. And then there was John Barrasso and Cynthia Lummis that kind of got a golf clap, I believe. I don't know. You were in the room for that. What was your take on it?
I thought it was pretty funny. I mean, Harriet is, the best way that I can describe this is, like, all of Harriet's voters, they love her. I mean, we're not just talking about them thinking that Harriet is an awesome representative, which she is. Harriet is doing such a great job in Washington, D.C., that Wyoming Republicans love her. Now, the other two, Barrasso and Lummis, I don't know that they have the same relationship with their constituents, probably because they never show up and talk to them. But what you heard at the dinner is when Harriet spoke, and she apologized for not being there. She has to be in Washington, D.C. voting. But what you heard was something akin to this. And then when the other two were done talking, you heard something like, "Yay. Yay." That was it.
Nice shot, Tiger. Nice shot.
It was great. I've got it recorded somewhere. No, I mean, the divide between our elected officials is pretty extraordinary. You know, in any other situation, you would think, when, "Oh, look, John Barrasso is going to talk to us. Fantastic." You would think, "Hey, all the Barrasso fans, it's our senator, one of our senators. That's great." And you'd think it would be thunderous applause. There wasn't. Same thing with Cynthia Lummis. But when Harriet was there, yeah, man, it was all of this.
So going back to the beginning of my statement, don't think Mark Gordon was disinvited just because there was a potential censure, which did pass, on the table. He was fully invited, declined to show up to our state convention for the Republican Party here in Wyoming. But there was another state that did invite him to go and speak at their state convention. But recently they realized, we see what this guy is doing. So Mark Gordon has formally been disinvited to his speaking engagement at the Montana GOP convention. So it's not just us, folks. It's not personal feelings about Mark Gordon. There is a strong contingent of people who want accountability for actions within the Republican Party or in the name of conservatism of elected officials that do stuff like, say we're going to go carbon negative and force you to wear a diaper on your face and shut things down and make sure that we still have gun-free zones and we can still openly kill babies with full support of the state. So Montana kind of said, "Nah, we're good. We're just going to get someone else." And that's how it went. So don't expect to see Mark Gordon speaking at any Republican state conventions anytime soon. But also remember, here in Wyoming, we don't have the ability to recall any of our elected officials. So he's still going to be in the seat for another 2 years, and we'll have to find a way to deal with that as handily as possible. And keep your eyes on the 2026 election so we can get someone in there who's ready to do the work of the people of Wyoming the way the people of Wyoming expect it to be done.
One more thought about all of this. The vast majority of the legislature and all statewide, all five statewide elected officials are Republicans. And they know for a fact that the vast majority of voters in Wyoming are Republican. If I had to take a wild stab at it, Joey, I would say that it's probably somewhere between 65 and 70% pretty conservative Republicans in the state. So if your governor, who claims to be a Republican, doesn't want to show up at the Republican convention, I mean, that should tell you volumes about where the governor's at. I mean, all of the things that Joey mentioned, you know, the carbon negative, shutting down the state and lying about it later. He now claims that he didn't shut down the state. He did. You could, you know, the lovely Christine is a hairstylist. She will go on and on about how she couldn't do her job during COVID. But he, you know, forced you to wear a diaper. There was the mask mandate. I mean, there's been a long list. Abortion, another good one. There's a long list of things that Governor Gordon has done that don't jive with hardly any Republicans in the state. And so if the guy doesn't even have the courage to walk into the convention, which he was absolutely invited to come and speak, just like Chuck Gray, just like Kurt Meyer, just like Megan Degenfelder, who also was not there. If the governor is not going to walk in, which, by the way, the Capitol is not that far. The governor's mansion is not that far from the ice arena where this thing was held. That should tell you volumes about Wyoming's governor. Now, let's not also leave out all of the elected representatives in the state. There were not that many state senators and representatives there. There's a lot of them that live in Cheyenne that they claim to be Republicans, but they didn't come anywhere near the ice arena or Little America where all the committee meetings were held. So you have to ask yourself, why didn't they show up? Well, it's because they know that they would probably be talked into a corner and said, "You got some splaining to do, pal." That's why.
Many of those Wyoming caucus, quote unquote, Republicans that didn't show up were represented well by their challengers in the upcoming primary. A lot of candidates were there for those positions. And I'll give a little cover to Bob Nicholas because he is the representative in that west side of Cheyenne, but it's still 280 miles from his actual house to get to Cheyenne.
So good point. Fair.
It might have been a bit of a slog for him. Before we jump off the air, I've got to say, you know, David, Ken, and myself, we all had multiple jobs, parliamentarians. We were delegates in committees. We were floor delegates, alternates. We did all of the audio and video for everything. And I got to just a moment of gratitude to you guys, not just for the work you did and covering down, not knowing how much we all had to do, but that it was very organic. There was no tension, making sure everything was done. We had a job to do, and we have come up with the next time we're doing all of it or none of it. We're not sharing audio, video work with anybody else, even if it's the facility. And we will be prime focused on making sure that we get the full coverage. So I really appreciate you guys. I couldn't have gotten through the weekend without you. And it's only getting better, like David says on his show. We're getting stronger. We're getting better every time. And with that, I think I'm just going to hand it off to David to close out the show. And we'll get to our hopefully close to regular schedule here before the week is out.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole convention went pretty smooth, I would have to say. You know, Republicans are pretty independent-minded folks. And when you get a whole bunch of them in a room, sometimes it resembles herding cats. And if you're not a Republican and if you're not an independent-minded person, you might look at that and say, wow, this is not organized at all. But the truth is, the whole thing ran like a well-oiled machine. The Independence Network was happy to provide all the sound and recording services that we did. And it's only going to get better. I don't think that there's another outlet that could have done the job that we did. And I think we did a fantastic job at it. And we're all glad to be back in the studio. So make sure you stay tuned to the Independence Network. We'll have lots of stories coming up from everything that happened this weekend. But for now, we'll talk to you tomorrow.